All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast where we talk about everything and everything. Did I say everything and everything? Anything and everything about indie games, but we also review games. And I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Matty Juice. That was quite the wind-up you had there, Tom. That was a good one. You should just make it longer and longer every week, you know, and well, just until it's like a full minute of...
Well, I can tell you for a fact, I have been trying to make it longer and longer every week for my whole life. And that's about as long as it gets. I'm sorry. But we got a great episode for you all today. We are talking about Exophobia, a new kind of retro first-person shooter that is kind of getting people pretty excited. And we got our hands on some codes and we were able to play. And it was an experience because I don't want to spoil how we think about the game quite yet because we do have other things to do. And, well, of course, that is catch up. What's going on, buddy? How you been? How was your weekend?
Yeah, been good. Let's see. This weekend had Lady Fresh came to the Hizzy along with some other people to hang out with Lady Juice. And that was cool. Did a stream over the weekend as well, which was a good time, playing some Once Human, of course. And then, yeah, on Sunday, my mom kind of had like a girls' night with like the sisters, you know, her sisters. So went and just visited them, you know, saw how they were, had a little breakfast. That was cool. And yeah, overall, it's been like busy. I feel like the last 2 weeks have just been a blur because I've been working on like so much stuff, like both at work and then outside of work. But yeah, overall, actually the weekend was pretty good. It's nice to get a little cooler weather too. You know, it wasn't like blistering. But yeah, it's been a good time. What about you, Tommy? How's everything going?
It's going. Pretty, I guess not low key weekend for me, but on Saturday there was a Flesh and Blood tournament in Princeton. So I went to that. That was fun. Play some more Flesh and Blood that evening, which was nice as well. So nice to actually play in the Flesh and Blood. Didn't do that well. I of course, round one, put on stream, you know, I was the backup feature match. Lose a really close one yet again. And I'm like, God, I can't break this curse. And then I win the next one and then kind of run into some really bad matchups after that. So I'm like, all right, today's not my day. I'm going to drop. I've mentioned I've been working on designing a game and I had brought my demo pack with me and I played with a bud and, you know, it was a good time. Got to first time playing it with someone that was not Lady Fresh and someone that actually plays a lot of card games. So I got to get a little bit different of a perspective on some mechanics and stuff like that, which is very cool. And that was neat. And then Sunday hung out with my friend Gabe. We went to go get him all fitted up for a wedding. That was pretty cool. Always good to hang with the G-man. And then I forget what Friday was. Friday was not anything. I think it was just like another low-key day, I think.
Yeah.
From whatever.
Oh, I totally forgot. Friday, I went to a surprise birthday party.
Oh, yes.
Yes, for... Bags, shout out to Bags' sister. It wasn't for Bags' sister, but that was cool also because a Burger Buff was there. For those who don't know, Burger Buff he's a guy who has got a pop-up burger shop and makes like smash burgers and stuff. And they were great. You know, I've had them before, but it was great to not have to like pay for them too. So that was nice. And yeah, I chatted with him a little bit too. Super nice guy. You know, told him that I, you know, try to make some smash burgers at my house. And we talked a little about that and some burger places around. And yeah, he was just super, super great. And he was even like, hey, like, you know, if you ever have questions about, you know, any home cooking, like for your burgers and stuff, like just reach out and like happy to help. So he was awesome. So shout out to Burger Buff, you know, awesome guy.
Shout out. Yeah. I got to try Burger Buff. Whenever I think the first time you guys went, I tagged along. Burger's very good, 100%. And to be honest, you know, I was about to ask, it's like, how was it to actually not have to pay? Because they are a little expensive. Because sometimes when you get a good burger, especially a smash burger, it just doesn't hit the spot, right? Like, it tastes really good, but it's just not, like, enough. That's why I, you know, I'm not eating a lot of beef right now, right? Almost none. I mean, the last beef I had was maybe, like, a little taste of something Lady Fresh was eating. Or the Juicy Lucy, which is another burger that was actually insane, delicious. But that was one. I got it, and I was like, man, I could go for another, and I got another. But that was relatively cheap compared to Burger Buff. So that was my only qualm with the Burger Buff. It's like, are we paying for the hype, or are we paying for the burger, which is a tough thing. But if it's at a party.
Yeah, they were just handing them out, too. So I most of us had two, and then each burger came with, like, the little gummy burger and a sticker for Burger Buff. So it was a little it was cool. But then you could even – they even had, like, take-home containers. So, like, our buddy Matt was, like, late because of work. So, like, they packed up some stuff for him. So, yeah, it was cool. And, yeah, I guess technically you could have just had as many as you wanted. So I probably could have had a third, but I was just – you know, I had some other stuff too. And two burgers will get you filled, no problem. So, yeah, but it was good not having to pay for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the way my stomach is these days, I would – pay one way or another. But that's very cool, very very cool. But that's cool, and it's probably a good party.
Yeah, it was a good time. She I don't know if she was, like, fully surprised, because, you know, I feel like you start to figure out some things the older you get when there's, like, a surprise party coming. Although I've been surprised before, you know, for my 30th. I did not know that was happening. So she had a good time. Everybody, you know, had a blast. It was great weather. And just drinking, hanging out with the peeps, you know, watching some baseball. They had some — the Yankees were on, and the Yankees won, which was good. So,
surprisingly,
it's a good time. Yeah.
They will hopefully pull it together for the playoffs, but we'll see. Now, we got to get to some news. Big news. First of all, the biggest news ever is that we do have a Discord called the Juice Heads. You check it out. It's in the show notes, folks. What are you doing? Pause the video, join Discord, come back here, unpause it, and keep watching, folks. It's that simple. We have a banging Discord. It's amazing. We should all be partying up in there. And heck, we should be playing some games in there. I think that is the biggest thing that we need to be doing right now. So if you want a game, come game, because we're gaming.
Bunch of gamers.
That news aside, it's always going to be news, never olds. Skim or shim? Skim?
I don't know how it's pronounced. I was going to say shim.
Shim, because I had a teacher in high school. Last name was Shimmerhorn. They called him Shim. Okay. And it was spelled similar. But Shim is debuting? What is going on with this?
Yeah, so I saw this. I actually saw this game a bit ago. I didn't realize it was coming out, but this is from InvenGlobal.com article, but it says award-winning indie game Shim debuts on multiple platforms. So this seems like a pretty interesting game, and I just kind of wanted to shout it out. It's currently 10% off on Steam, and basically it's a game about jumping from shadow to shadow in a relaxing and lively environment. It's a 3D platformer, and it uses the elements of light, shadow, and animation and adds them directly to the gameplay. So it just seemed like a really interesting game mechanic-wise. It looks great. I definitely recommend looking up some streams or some videos of it. I'm watching some on Steam right now. It's really just all about kind of jumping from shadow to shadow. And then as you jump out of the shadow into the light, you turn into a person. And then as you jump into the shadow, I guess you turn into this sort of shadow sort of being. It just seemed like a really interesting idea and just wanted to shout it out. Apparently, it's won some awards. It's currently mixed reviews on Steam, but to me, I mean, it seems pretty tempting to try out. So, yeah, just want to give it a little shout out there of a pretty neat indie game it just released.
Yeah, I've actually seen some gameplay of this not too long ago. It must have been in conjunction with the release on these platforms. It looks really cool. I mean, I'm digging the art style. I love when a game can play with shadow and light and different textures like that and make it part of the gameplay. It looks really neat. You know what's reminding me of? League of Legends.
League of Legends, really? No, I'm kidding. Okay, I was like, really? How? Please explain yourself.
No. Just the toxic fan base, because I heard the shimmers out there are pretty crazy. No, I'm kidding. No. It looks really cool. So it's something that I might even check out. Maybe even throw it on the little Switcherino. It seems like a fun one to play.
There's a free demo lady. As well. So, you know, might as well try it out.
We got a question about demos coming later. Stick around, folks. We might answer a question about demos. Now, something else that popped up in my feed was this 10,000-hour indie RPG goes free to play as devs aren't comfortable making tens of thousands of dollars from people who don't play the game. So this puzzle RPG ditches their $20, price tag, and is going free to play. It's called Team Tactical Nexus. Listen, I don't know much about the game. It looks like something that I probably would enjoy to a certain extent. Not a huge puzzle game player, but I've been known to mess around with it. It's kind of cool to see a game just decide to do this, right?
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot. Like, there's some games, especially in the indie sphere, they kind of need that little boost of that free to play or even like really cheap price tag to even get the word of mouth to start like doing the snowball effect. So, I mean, just even doing this obviously has warranted a article, people talking about, writing about it and people reading about it, us talking about it on this podcast. So it's really cool. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because I saw this and like the quote is that, this is due to the fact that the majority of players who bought the main package have only played the game for less than the demo, despite having a demo that allows them to play for dozens of hours, which is pretty interesting. The team writes before continuing to say they don't want to extort tens of thousands of dollars from people who don't play the game. It's pretty crazy to think that they looked at the data and were like, you know what, we're screwing people.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. And apparently they have, just based on some other stuff in the article, like for several years, they've kind of made it a point that they're not in it for making a profit, right? Mm-hmm. So even their DLC that they have for this game, they said you don't need to buy the DLC and it's only necessary after you've played the game for at least 100 hours. So I feel like if someone's playing the game for 100 hours, they're going to be willing to buy a DLC for something, no matter what game it is. So I think that's awesome as well, that the DLC does not come into play super early. You know, there's so many other games, right? Like I always just think of Destiny, for example. If you want to get into Destiny, there's like DLCs that you need to purchase or that you should purchase to really get the best experience. But this game takes it a different way. And yeah, I think it's awesome, you know. I don't know. I guess I'm assuming that they're not going to be making a lot of updates for this game anymore now that it's going to be going free to play, and they might be working on something else. That's usually kind of what happens when this sort of stuff goes on. But still, I mean, a game that has confirmed, people have confirmed that it has, like, you know, thousands and thousands of hours worth of content in it is like amazing that it's even going free to play, right? Like you would think that if that was the case, you know, which it is, that this is confirmed, people would be willing to just, I'll spend $20 on it, you know, no problem. But yeah, just really cool of them to do. So shout out to Team Tactical Nexus. And I believe that's the name of the game too, is Tactical Nexus. So I think that, you know, I assume they're going to work on some other stuff now that it's free to play, but, you know, awesome. Awesome. Would love to see this for some other games, especially some that we've, you know, talked about on the podcast before. I think there's been a few of them where we're like, this could be free.
Yeah.
You know? And there's probably some ways to monetize it. But yeah, shout out to Team Tactical Nexus for making a cool decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just saw it. And it's always good to see something like that where, you know, there's some self-awareness, which is huge. And you know, you don't get a lot, to be honest. So pretty cool to see. Kudos. So, but let's see if this game that we're about to talk about is the bee's knees. This is Exophobia, where we have a blurb here. Explore and fight your way through a crashed human spaceship infested with relentless hordes of aliens as you become more powerful with exciting weapon upgrades, power-ups in this retro-inspired first-person shooter. Now, Matt, I got a question. Now, have you played many retro-style FPSs?
I have played, you know, a little bit of like the old Wolfenstein or old, you know, Doom games, but I wouldn't say I'm super into them. Obviously played a little bit of Project Warlock as well, you know, but haven't played a ton of them, but I am familiar with obviously FPSs and things of that nature. Played a good amount of those, but yeah. What about you? Are you, I know you're not a big FPS guy, but does retro FPS, like, is that good for you? Do you usually enjoy those?
I will say that I enjoy them more than your typical FPS because, and we'll get into it in the review, but for multiple reasons. And I played a little bit of Doom, Duke Nukem, played a lot of that. I remember in our uncle's on his Sega, maybe, or maybe even he had it on his PC or something like that. But yeah. I remember playing Duke Nukem back in the glory days of Duke Nukem. And that was a novel idea to a young lad playing that game, that I was playing as someone who was like, you could hear them using the urinal. And I was like, you know what? It gets better. Video games get better as you get older. And I was kind of right. So. But yeah, let's talk about this gameplay. Exophobia. You land on the ship. You get out of this like kind of crash kind of thing. You're thrown right into it, right? There's some dead guys on the ground. You start to learn how to play the game. You're getting somewhat of a interactive tutorial where you're going through. It's telling you the different buttons. You grab your first gun. It tells you how to save, how to like slide and stuff like that. And then you kind of like, they're like, hey, listen, you're going to have to explore, right? And you're going to run into dudes that are trying to kill you, like little alien guys. So that is the premise here, right? You have to explore this whole map. It's a huge map. It really is big. I feel like I barely scratched the surface in this game. And to be honest, the exploration in this game is one of my favorite parts, right? It felt a lot like a Metroidvania in a way. And I guess it probably kind of is, right? It's almost like Duke Nukem Doom, like retro style FPS meets like Metroid Prime or something like that, or just Metroid straight up. So that felt very cool to find like your upgrades and different things to help you get through different parts of the map. That is such a satisfying game loop for me, like in the Metroidvania space. So like this was really hitting home there. I enjoyed it. And to be honest, you know, I got scared. I got scared. Like, because you go into a room and like it's so retro that like the the enemies don't really do much, right? But as soon as they see you, they start doing something. And it's not like they just have to see you. They don't. It's not like they could hear you or something like that. Because you could be like walking and all of a sudden like one starts chasing you, you're like, shooting it. And I will say that the jump scares got me pretty good. And it was like fun that way. And it was like funny almost, because they're not like scary looking sprites, right? These characters. And we'll talk about that when we get to the art. But it's just so funny. It would just like pop out at you and you're like, God damn it, you know? And It was fun. It was a fun game loop. Now, I will say, and this is not something that is, so I played this game in I think like 2 45-minute spurts and maybe a little bit longer. And the reason is, and this is something personal for me, is that I get very motion sick with these kinds of games and FPSs in general. And it's one that I like FPSs, but the motion sickness is brutal. Like, even I was playing last night, and when I stopped, I was like, oh my God. I was like laying in bed, still getting the spins. Yeah. And, you know, it is what it is. I read up on it, and you can change your field of view right? And this game has that option. I messed around with that and it was a little bit better, right? So I wasn't able to play it at long spurts, but it made me want to go back and continue to play despite getting a little sick while playing. And I don't think this is, if you don't have issues with that kind of motion sickness with FPSs, because looking on Reddit, a lot of people experience this. If you don't have that issue, this is not going to be an issue for you. I think it's totally fine. And to be honest, it's one of the better ones I've played in terms of like it not really kicking in right away. So that, all that being said, the gameplay was a lot of fun. I enjoy exploring this spaceship, figuring out where I need to go, defeating these enemies. It's a nice little challenge. Some of them are a little bit easier to cheese than others. And, yeah. You know, as someone who's like not really good at these kinds of games, it was nice to be able to kind of cheese some of the stuff. And this is something, and I think we mentioned it last week as well, and we've mentioned it before, but to me, it felt very video gamey, right? This felt very retro. It didn't feel like they were trying to reinvent the wheel. Now, if that's what you're looking for, this might not be for you. It felt very like an homage to all those games, right? It's definitely what it says it's going to be, right? It's not reinventing the wheel whatsoever. So that being said, if that's an experience that you like, I think this is going to be a good gameplay experience for you. But if you're looking for something a little bit different, I do think this might be a little disappointing in that regard. So, but overall for me, I like the video gamey, like old school kind of FPS stuff that's going on in this. And it was fun while I can enjoy it, you know, and that's where I yeah. landed on the gameplay, my friend.
Yeah, I definitely agree about like the, you know, I didn't have, you know, the FPS kind of issues, but I agree about the exploration. Like that was one of my favorite parts when I was playing and just figuring things out. You know, the game does give you, like you said, kind of that interactive sort of tutorial in the beginning. But there are certain things that maybe either I just missed or I just discovered, you know, and that's what they intended. But for example, there's different crates kind of all around the world, and there's certain crates that are marked with like a red X, and those crates have an item in it. So like figuring that out, even though that's like a very basic thing, just figuring that out was really satisfying because I was like, oh, like this is where like the key cards are. These are where these certain items are. And then you start to kind of, you know, it kind of snowballs from there, and you're like, okay, I'm going to enter this room now. Like, let's see what's in here. And I definitely agree about the jump scares as well, especially those guys that have, I think it's a shovel or something. Mm-hmm. They just, the ones that run at you and they're yelling. Yeah, those ones would get me, especially because they, or at least one of them I remember would come out after you kind of thought you had defeated everything in the room. He was just like in like down a hallway and he would just run at you. So that was fun. I like the fact that you can upgrade your gun as well. And it happens pretty early too, where, you know, the first upgrade you get is like, you can use a charge on your pistol. That kind of shoots a bigger, you know, a bigger bullet out of it. And then it also allows you to access more areas of the map. There's certain like metal boxes that like you can't break unless you're using that, that sort of charged pistol, or if you have, there's like some areas have like explosive barrels, things like that, that will also open up those sort of metal boxes that are blocking access to specific areas. So it was great. Like the overall, like the exploration, I really felt was satisfying. And there we go. We got the gameplay up there now for the YouTube viewers. So you kind of get an idea of, you know, what we're talking about with the retro style. Very easy to see that this is a retro game. And there's those guys with the shovels running at us. But yeah, so I enjoyed that. There's also kind of a slide in the game, and you'll see it in the gameplay as well. So that also gives you a good amount of mobility. And it didn't really feel like, you know, I feel like in some of those older FPSs, right, like you don't really have a move like that. You're kind of just stuck to, okay, I'm going to try to strafe and I'm going to try to shoot, and that's about it. So in this game, it's great that you have that slide, because that allows you to access certain things and dodge certain obstacles, but it also gives you the ability to like knock back the enemies and kind of stun them a little bit. So it's kind of like a multi-purpose. So I enjoyed that about the game, but really, yeah, the exploration, was great. And it also wasn't overwhelming, the exploration. You know, sometimes when I'm playing a game, and unless it's a game I really like, I already know I love, like Elden Ring, where, like, obviously the exploration, there's a million different ways you can go and do things. But with a game like this, I don't want too many options. And, like, sometimes, like, I actually kind of felt like Animal Well almost fell into this trap sometimes, where I was just like, where was I again? Like, I have to, like, backtrack and try to figure it out. This game, maybe it's because it's an FPS, it's maybe easier to remember, oh, I was in this room, and I didn't get a chance to open this door. Let me go through this door now and see what's through there. So it definitely kind of has those Metroidvania vibes, but obviously it's an FPS. So yeah, just I would also agree. Like, the exploration was probably my favorite part about what I played. And the combat also, oh, just hit my mic there, sorry. But the combat is also not a pushover. There are ways you can sort of, like, cheese it. Like, I figured out for certain rooms at least, you know, you would enter the room so the enemies would see you, and then you would just leave the room and they would, like, stop moving, and mm-hmm. then you could just go ahead and kind of cheese that room. But there were certain enemies that would just run through it no problem. So I don't know if it's, like, room dependent or if, like, that's just the behavior of some of the enemies. But it definitely, you know, I definitely died while playing it. So I enjoyed that there was, like, a challenge there as well, and it wasn't just like, okay, even though the mechanics are pretty simple, the gameplay can still, like, be complex, and you can still get a challenge out of it. So, yeah, overall, I just enjoyed the gameplay quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to exploring more. Didn't get a chance to beat the entire game, but looking forward to exploring more. And then even I don't know if it was technically a boss room. I'm trying to remember if this was a boss, but basically there were waves of enemies that came in to this room as well. So that was a nice little change of pace, because typically you're, you know, entering a room, you see where the enemies are, where most of them are, then you obviously try to figure it out from there. This one, after you defeat some enemies, more just kind of spawn in through these kind of, like, beams, or these kind of radiating beams that are shown in the room. So nice little variety there as well. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah. And I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to take you to complete the game, but if you get to a certain point, like, there is an end to the story that will unlock I don't think this is really a spoiler, but you will unlock, like, an infinite mode. There's different kinds, and, you know, you see this a lot in Metroidvanias and a lot of different games, where there's different kind of endings: good ending, bad ending, great ending, the best ending, whatever. So there is a lot to be doing here, with a lot of exploration. So it's definitely, like, I felt like I barely scratched the surface. It's not the biggest. I mean, like, there's a big map, but it gets a lot bigger, I think. And
yeah,
that is pretty impressive for a game. This is feels like it's a very well thought out, full, like, hey, listen, it's the price tag, what we think it might be, what, $35, or at least for the physical version.
Because we are, just as a reference, we are playing this before launch, so we're mm-hmm. not able to actually see the price on Steam. But from what we can see, where it's listed on Amazon and Best Buy, for the physical releases of the game, it looks to be $35. So we're just going to kind of keep that in mind, as we kind of talk about the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly feels like, you know, it's a lot of content. So it's not for nothing to shout that out there. So now let's talk about the story. We've hinted at it a little bit. It's a story, right? Like, it's very one note. This is all about your just exploration, right? You know, we did not get through a lot of it, right? We got to the beginning where it sets up the story. You land on the ship, everybody's dead except for these aliens, and you gotta fight your way through and explore everything and find your way through to the end of the game. So, you know, as far as that goes, I mean, I didn't really need a lot, to be honest. Like, especially with a game like this, with this kind of art style and stuff like that, I don't need, like, cutscenes or anything like that. Maybe a little dialogue here and there would have been nice, but you really are just by yourself, right? You know, and and you go to your little save rooms, but even that doesn't even feel like you're talking to anybody. You're just saving and then like looking at the map a little bit. So, you know, I don't think that I needed a story, but we could have used maybe a little bit more. There is a setup though, and we didn't get through everything, but it feels very like, hey, you're just working your way through this thing, and it's fun, and you know, you got to kill these aliens. Aliens are bad guys, so you got to kill them. So that's the story here.
Agreed. You know, there's not, it would have been nice to maybe have a little bit of dialogue or something, or maybe some characters that you can talk to, and maybe we just didn't get to them yet. But what I will say though is there is a nice story for the making of the game. Mm-hmm. That the devs provided to us. So the game was basically, the concept for it was created during like a game jam weekend, using Game Maker, and it basically evolved into what it is today, with, you know, obviously being like a full-fledged game, but it was the most downloaded game jam game for the developer. And it's funny enough that the developer Jose was never a fan of FPS games and making 3D games, and this is what he ended up making. So nice little story there. That also might play into the fact that there's not a lot of story in the game as well. I feel like typically those game jam games, you know, the concept of them, it's like it's all about gameplay, you know. It's probably less about story. I'm not an expert in game jam games, but from what I know about them, it's usually about you know, a little slice of the gameplay for the game that you're thinking of making. So pretty cool background story, I guess you could say, for the game. But would be nice to have a little bit of story elements in there. But honestly, I wasn't expecting a lot of story for a game like this. Just looking at the gameplay, I was just kind of expecting, okay, this is going to be like a you know, just a shooter. I'm gonna go in there, kill some aliens, you know, and do my thing.
And that's exactly what it was. Now let's talk about these aliens. How do they look? We are gonna talk about the art. It's a cool looking game, right? You know, you're looking at this, if you're watching on YouTube, it is a consistent style throughout. You have really neat little enemy animations. They're not doing a lot, but you know, there's some cool stuff going on, right? You know, you start shooting the enemy with the flamethrower, and you bust his flamethrower backpack open, and he catches on fire. He starts running at you. That's hilarious. I mean, it's like a really fun, minimal kind of thing to do. Now, the enemies get less and less minimal as they progress, right? As you run into different ones and they become a little bit more animated and doing different things, and that's pretty cool. Now the environments look great. It's great pixel art here. Everything feels very smooth and put together. You know exactly what you're picking up when you're picking up items, right? Like once you understand that's like, oh, the little pill is going to be a health bar, the little helmet's going to be armor, you know, so on and so forth. It all looks really good, and honestly, it just adds to the experience, right? That you get to run through this world that you're exploring, because if it didn't look good, you wouldn't want to continue to do it. So I actually really like the art style here. It's very minimal in terms of the amount of colors they're using, right? Like, there's like blues, grays, reds, and like whites and blacks. Like, really, for the most part, at least for the first part of the game. And that's kind of cool that they built such a beautiful looking game with just that kind of one color scale, which is really neat. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed quite a bit. You know, this is a pixel game, so if you're not into the pixel stuff, you're not going to really like it that much. If you like a little bit more of the realistic stuff, this might not be for you. But I like this style. I think it's cool. I like to see this kind of stuff, like the sprite animations and stuff. I didn't really have many complaints here.
Yeah, I think the art's a pretty strong point for the game. And I know there's different floors of the spaceship, and I believe the different floors kind of had different themes, but they all kind of follow this like simplistic, kind of minimalistic, you know, sort of pixel art, which is great. Yeah, even just like the way that your gun animates, you know, when you get different upgrades, you know, those little details really matter, and they really make you feel like you have an upgraded gun. And then I know I mentioned before about the different kind of crates that you're able to find that have different items in it, and the fact that like the ones that actually have items in it are, they look different than the ones that don't. So you don't have to really waste your time kind of breaking open crates that you already know have nothing in them. So I thought, you know, good design choice there. And yeah, I think, you know, mostly everything with the art really works for me. The only thing that I wish was, it's not so much about how it looks, I guess. Maybe it's more just about, maybe this is more on the gameplay side, but the saving screen, when you actually go to save, I kind of felt like, okay, this is pretty like big for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of wanted it to be maybe just kind of more centered on the screen. Maybe if I was playing on like console, it wouldn't have been a problem sitting on the couch playing it. But like playing on my PC, I was like, whoa, this font is huge, you know, but just like small little things like that don't really matter. You're only in the save room for what, you know, 5 seconds or something like that. So no problem. But yeah, love the enemy design. It's easy to know what you're picking up. None of the items really look super similar. It's easy to also see how much health you have, you know, just in the bottom left. But like in the midst of battle, when you're trying to strafe things, you can just easily like peek down there and it's very clear, you know, how many health pills you have left or health, you know, points you have left. And yeah, they just nailed the retro vibe overall. So yeah, just overall, just enjoyed the art. I think they did a good job.
Yeah, they certainly did. And another high point for me definitely was the soundtrack, right? It's because, well, first, we've already talked about the noises, first of all, that these enemies are making. They're very funny and like, you know, just like classic style. Like, yeah, that's like a weird looking alien. Like, that's what it's going to sound like. And, you know, all the sound effects are great here. But the soundtrack is excellent. Now, the person that did the soundtrack is Pedro J. Costa. And the original soundtrack, I don't know if it's on Spotify right now, but it is up on his Bandcamp right now. I'm looking at it right now. You can buy it. Now, like, you know, not everybody's going to want to buy a soundtrack. But, you know, this is a pretty good one, right? And you know, Bandcamp, it's actually a website I've started to use a little bit more. I think it's really, really cool to kind of support your more like super independent artists in a way that you can kind of, you know, give them a little bit, right? It's tough to make music and make money these days, but the soundtrack's great. It's just like super sci-fi 80s kind of with a little bit of, what would you even call it? Like some techno stuff going on as well, which is pretty cool. And it's a good time. I really enjoy the soundtrack, and I felt myself like just bumping to it. Like if I had to look away because I was a little bit motion sick, I was like, oh, at least I can listen. So it's a banger. So I believe if you go to their Twitter, they've retweeted Pedro's stuff, and Pedro has done some other games as well. It looks like Out of Line, Game Talk, Color Tricks, Seasons of Friendship. Some bangers right there. So yeah, I really enjoyed everything going on the audio side of this game.
Yeah, agreed. You know, soundtrack was great. Also the sound effects, you know, I thought were perfect for the vibe of the game, right? They're very spacey and like exactly what you're kind of like looking for. And yeah, the soundtrack just fit the vibe perfectly. I agree. I was also kind of sitting there listening to it a bit because I would alt tab out to work on some other stuff at certain times and you know, write my notes down for the game. So just listening to the soundtrack there, yeah, it was nice. You know, it's interesting that I guess you know, I'll have to look more into Bandcamp because I haven't like. I see people posting on there, you know, they like share their Bandcamp links. And I'm always just like, for whatever reason, I'm like, this is like, I always think this is like MySpace, you know, because MySpace was all about the music and all that stuff at a certain point. Or I guess they tried to pivot to that or whatever it was. But yeah, pretty cool that they're on there. So I'll have to check that out. But yeah, overall, I mean, I don't have much to talk about with the sound. It's kind of, you know, just watching the game, you can probably imagine what the sound is like. I know we haven't muted in the videos that we've been showing, but it worked for me. No issues whatsoever.
Yeah, it definitely was a banger. But
yeah, well, before... actually, I did have a small issue with the sound, but it's more about the performance side. So we can talk about
get to the performance. I didn't have any issues with the performance that I could remember. But what about you?
Yeah, I just had a no issues with like FPS or like the smoothness of the gameplay or anything, but I had some weird issues, and it could be because the game isn't out yet. Maybe they're going to be doing like a day one patch or something like that. But when I tried to access the options menu in the game, it would show up and it would let me highlight over something. But when I actually went to select it, nothing would happen. So then I went back into the game to play. I was like, all right, I'll just leave the options menu. I was going to like change, double check the resolution or whatever it was. And when I went back into the game, as I was playing and hitting like, you know, WASD, I guess it thought I was still in the options menu. And so the sound of the options menu of like the beeping, there's like this beeping sound was like happening while I was playing and running around. So it was kind of like they were like merged together. So there was a weird like bug with that. So you, if any of you decide to pick up the game, you might have a small issue like that. But honestly, it was just something as soon as I opened up the options menu again and then closed out of it, it went away. So there was no issue there. But yeah, hopefully the devs like take a look at that. I'm sure I won't be the only one that like has that specific issue. Like I said, maybe it'll be fixed by launch day already. But yeah, just a weird little bug there where I wasn't able to change any of the options while I was playing, but I was able to change the options like, on the main menu screen. So yeah, but other than that, no game breaking bugs at all for me.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I didn't really run into anything, but I didn't really expect to either. So let's get to our rating. It's an interesting one for us. Our ratings are as follows. Our best games are Certified Fresh Juice, your Balatros, your Norp Apologs of the world. Steel, something like Angerfoot. What is it? Feet.
Foot.
Proud Feet. get on sales. A lot of games fall into this category where it's got some good stuff, but you know, maybe not perfect and, you know, just needs a little bit more oomph. Your manager special, these are your very genre specific or just like really on the cusp of being unplayable, but maybe it's out, something's there for someone. And then spoiled milk for the games that we don't recommend for anybody. Matty Juice, what did you give Exophobia?
All right. So I know I've said some good things about the game, but honestly, if I'm looking at the price tag, I do think it's a little high. And so I'm giving this an on sale because I do think it's totally worth it. Like if you see the game on sale, you're into FPSs, retro FPSs. I do think it's a great time. It's got a good amount of content in it. But whenever I see a price tag, let's say above $25 for a game or above $30, especially, I'm like, okay, this game needs to deliver on all fronts. It needs to be like perfect, especially like an indie game, right? I'm not talking about the AAA games here. So that's the only concern for me is that I just feel like the price tag, if it does end up being $35, is a little high for what the game is. I do think it is worth picking up on sale. Even if it was ended up being a $25 game, I think that would be worth it. But when I saw 35, I was like, wow, that seems a little high. But again, we're looking at the Amazon listing, Best Buy listings. I don't know if the physical versions of the games that they're selling on there are more expensive than the digital version because, you know, they obviously have extra costs when it comes to the physical side of things. So it could end up being different when the game actually comes out. So I guess I'll give this a tentative on sale and potentially a steal if it ends up being cheaper than what I think it is.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is totally valid. I'm a little bit higher on it. I'm giving it a steal right at the gate because I do think there's a lot of content here, and I understand that it might be a little bit more pricey, but this is certainly like one to three person team, it looks like, and the depth of this game I think is more than enough to warrant a steal for me. And I think that it's easy to, I think there are other games out there that are being touted with a higher price that will have the same amount of gameplay that isn't as clean as this. And I think the gameplay is very clean, and it is a true love letter to the kinds of games that this is definitely drawing inspiration from. You know, the Doom, Duke Nukem, whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, this might be something like you give your Gen X uncle for like Christmas or something like that. I'm like, hey, you remember when you used to play Duke Nukem? Play this. You're going to love it. So like, I do think it's going to be a steal for me. It's going to be a steal for me.
So, nice. There we go. We're butting heads finally, you know.
Yeah. But next week we have a pretty exciting one that I already saw somebody streaming on TikTok. Funny enough, Dungeons of Hinterberg, and excited that was one of the first games we talked about on this show.
Yeah.
So can't wait to hop in and play that next week. We do have some listener questions though. You can submit these on the Fresh Juice Discord. First one coming from Kay Moore, who just knew we were going to be recording today. Didn't even need us to ping him. And he was like, all right, let me throw in my question. Kay Moore asked, is there a game or series you sometimes go back to and just play for fun? Mine is Devil May Cry.
Yeah, actually, this one might surprise people, but it's a game I always have installed, whether it's on like my PlayStation or on my PC, is Rocket League. I always have it installed because that is a game where I'm like, okay, I've got 20 minutes. Let me just play a few Rocket League matches. You know, I'm not good. I'm terrible at the game, but it's just always one of those games. I got it installed on my Switch, where it's just super easy to pick up and just play. And I always have fun when I do it. You know, I never take it seriously. You know, it's just always a good time. So yeah, I'm going to go with Rocket League for that one. What about you, Tom?
This is a tough one. I think a lot of games have been consistent in my life, but like, I think about like something that I played a decent amount of and I'll revisit. I find myself maybe once a year re-downloading League of Legends and hopping in for a couple of games. And I've never been good at that game. And, you know, I'll play the mobile one a little bit more, the what they call Wild Rift or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very similar to the base game. It's just, you know, less people calling you, not even calling you anything, just telling you to kill yourself. It's a little bit less of that on the mobile version, but I'll pick up League of Legends every once in a while. I like a good League of Legends like situation.
Yeah. Chat
like
room.
that's
why you log in. We all know it. You just got to let off some steam. You're just like in the chat. You're not even playing. You're just typing in that.
I'm like, oh man, I don't even listen to anybody chatting or anything like that. I could just feel them seething on my team from what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, man, that's how I like to play the game. Like not as a team.
There you go.
So thank you for the question, K-more. Next question comes from Bags, who's currently in Central America right now. Very nice.
Oh yeah.
If you could only play, and also I'm pretty sure Bags has asked this question before, but this question always changes, so we'll let you slide on this one, Bags. If you could only play one game for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh man, one game for the rest of my life. I feel like it needs to be a game that's procedural in some way, so that I would never, you know, I could always have new things. No Man's Sky comes to mind. I mean, there's just a lot to do in that game. I'm thinking like Minecraft is also another game where there's just like endless sorts of content. Yeah, so I'll just go with those two. I mean, it's tough to say, but just something that's going to give me maybe new experiences every now and then. And I won't like, you know every single corner of the game after like the third year of playing it.
Yeah, I was thinking something like Minecraft as well. I just think that you like a game where you can craft your own experience with it, I think is pretty key, because like there is like a like an end game in Minecraft, right? Like you can try to beat whatever, like, yeah, you know, but you can also be like, you can also be like, I'm going to build the biggest city in the world in Minecraft, and guess what? I'm going to keep building it until I die. I can keep doing it, right? And that's something you can do in Minecraft, and I think that's what I would do. So Minecraft's a great answer there, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. Next question comes from Capolo, who asks, what is your opinion of the resurgence of demos on Steam? Do you guys play many demos? And he adds, I feel like I haven't seen many demos until the beginning of this year. I personally love it. I think it's a great way to experience these games. I think this is also a symptom of the economy, right? Where the economy is a little tough. People aren't so willing to buy games willy-nilly. And, you know, sure, there's sales and stuff like that, but still, it's nice to play the game a little bit first. Like, I'm glad I played that demo of Star Vaders, because I'm definitely going to be getting that game when it comes out. I think it's pretty good. I like playing them when I get a chance.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's great. You know, I'd love for, like, all platforms to always have a demo of no matter what game it is, even if it's a single player game. Give me a, you know, give me the prologue of the single player game. And especially one that just comes to mind recently that Kmore actually showed me was a game I played on stream called Aloft. I know it was in my rec room not long ago, but that demo for that game had multiplayer, which is like, typically that's usually locked behind, you know, the full purchase of the game. So that was awesome. So yeah, I'm all for more demos. You know, I want every game to have a demo, because then it also makes it super easy to recommend, right? Like we've reviewed games really highly on the show before, and then we'll always mention, oh, there's also a demo of it. If you're still on the fence with everything that we've said, like there's a demo, just go try it for free. Take 30 minutes to an hour and just see if you even like it. So yeah, all for demos. And I also, I love it. Yeah, I love that there's so many of them now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It is pretty cool. It makes our life a little easier too, because like we could even choose to review a game based on a demo sometimes, which is pretty neat. Now,
yeah.
Next question comes from Arcarp, who says and asks, most games feel like they're played in the late afternoon or evening/night. What is a good breakfast game?
That is a great question. So I love playing games where like survival-y kind of games in the morning, where I'm just like, all right, I'm like just waking up, I'm just getting started with my day. Let me go chop down some trees, you know, let me go like do some mining and things like that. But if I had to choose a specific game, I love playing Animal Crossing in the morning. I think that is like such a great, I mean, that's a great game all the time, but like there's something about playing it in the morning where I'm just like, I feel productive, more productive in Animal Crossing than when I play it at night. So yeah, I'll go with Animal Crossing.
Yeah, it's a good answer. You know, I remember, especially like with New Horizons and the shutdown, I would just wake up, roll over, start up my Switch, do my things for the day in Animal Crossing. It was very nice.
Wait for the shop to open.
Stardew Valley is another good one there too. It's a similar vein. It's like farming games. I guess like a farming simulator would go pretty crazy in the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah. The cozy games.
Cozy games. But like also, if you're playing a game that has like dailies or whatever, like things to like do in the game to like get like rewards like daily, I think any kind of game like that is great in the morning, because you get out of the way, you're not like, oh, it's 11:30 at night, I gotta get my dailies before I go to bed and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I would say anything like that. So yeah, thanks for the question, Arcarp. Very, very nice. Now that brings us to the end of the show, which also means it's time for the Rec Room, where we recommend something, well, that perhaps isn't in any game. What do you have to recommend this week, Matthew?
So I am recommending Donut Holes. So this is This is actually something that Lady Fresh brought over to my house over the weekend. And they were these blueberry donut holes, and they were unbelievable. And these are not like, you know, don't think of like munchkins from Dunkin' Donuts where they're like perfect spheres, you know. These are like, they looked, you know, all kind of organic-y, right? Like they're organic shapes. Like they're not perfectly cut out. And I just, you know, those were great. But I also just want to say, I want to do a little, you know, little message announcement here. Like to all the companies out there that make donuts, I want you to make these donut holes too. Like, I feel like we need more donut holes, because having a donut's fine, but sometimes you just want a little bit. And I don't want to just like take a bite of a donut and just leave it there. So like, yeah, you know, I have dinner and then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pop a donut hole. That's my dessert, you know? And it was great. They were delicious. The blueberry ones were great. So they were awesome. And my wife finished them pretty quickly. So they were great.
I mean, I'm not the biggest dessert guy, but donuts high up there on my list of things that I love. And donut holes right there with me. And the whole company of Entenmann's, right? Entenmann's, and I don't think Entenmann's is national, right? I think it's pretty Northeast locked to my knowledge. But I could be wrong. They have a permanent end cap. This is actually comes from Seinfeld. They have a permanent end cap in the grocery store, Entenmann's. Yeah. And it's still true 30 years later, right? Yeah. And Entenmann's, they got good like cakes, donuts, but then they have their Pop'ems, which are their donut holes. Oh my God. Dude, I remember, I don't even know if they still do it, but like maybe 10 years ago, I was like single and ready to mingle and, you know, go out to the bars, get a little tipsy, you get a ride home, but it's like, we got to stop at Wawa first, stop at Wawa, get a hoagie. And then every single time they would have like a little display of Entenmann's Pop'ems, and it would be 2 for $5, the packages. And yeah. I'd be like, I gotta get them. And I would get the powdered donut one. And then also they have the chocolate frosted with the yellow cake in the middle.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. This is so good. I love the chocolate frosted yellow cake donuts. That is,
yeah.
I put them in the fridge.
Oh, too. I was just about to say, yeah, you got to put them in the fridge.
So that way you bite so into better. The chocolate frosting, it like cracks a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, this is freaking awesome. The best. Entenmann's. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. Sponsor the show. We'll change the name of the show. I don't give it. I don't. Who cares?
Yeah. Fresh Entenmann's.
Fresh Entenmann's. Oh man, I love Entenmann's. Here's a nice little side story. So, I'm not a big, despite the name of my other podcast, Fresh and Buds, I'm not big into marijuana, right? You know, especially, I mean, like, you know, since it's been legal in New Jersey, it definitely experimented with it a lot more, but before that I was like never, ever, ever. I just didn't like feel like ever getting in trouble or anything like that, and I was just more of a boozer anyway. And I, you know, I have like these deep set eyes, whatever, they are genetic, so it kind of looks like I'm a stoner, right? And I was on a work with a rep for my wholesaler, and you know, he's a big stoner, and he's like, oh yeah, you smoke weed, right? And I was like, no, actually I don't. He's like, no, you're lying. Look at you. And I was like, no, I swear to God, man. Like I wouldn't lie about this. And he's like, that's crazy. That's so crazy. I can't believe that. And then we're riding around. I'm in his car. We're riding around hitting accounts, and we're in Edison, New Jersey. And just outside of Metuchen. Funny name for a place. We'll just say that we're outside of Metuchen, and we pass this strip mall, and I look over, and there was an Entenmann's outlet, like a whole Entenmann's store.
Oh, right? Shit.
Yeah. Right. Like,
I didn't know those existed.
I'm pretty sure it's still there. We'll have to do a podcast road trip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, And I said to the guy, I'm like, Scott, holy shit, is that an Entenmann's outlet? And he just looks at me, he's like, there's no way you don't smoke weed. Like, it's like only a stoner would recognize, like, see that and be like, what? So that's my Entenmann story. But anyway, I digress. My rec room for the week is Tabletop Simulator, which is, you know, you take it for granted. This is the best, worst thing to ever exist because it crashes like crazy sometimes. Like, you know, there's just so much getting put on there. Like, I think that things just get overloaded sometimes and they have to really go in and clean out all the garbage, and totally understandable. But it is such a great tool. And I've been talking about this game I've been working on. And today I sat down, I figured out how to put the game on there, which is like super cool. And like, once I got it figured out, like after, like, you can just go in and be like, there's like a deck builder file that comes with you having the game. And you just go in and like you upload a certain file and all of a sudden it's in the game. You can just play the game online with like people, demo it to people, whatever. It's just such a great tool. I'm always in awe of like how great it is. Like when I first started playing Flesh and Blood, it was still not a lot of in-store play because it was COVID and they didn't have a fan-made client yet to play online. So people were just jamming games on not Talishar, that's the in-game client now, on TTS, which was really cool. And just kind of like, I haven't played on it in a long time, but just coming back to it for this purpose, I was like, made me feel very grateful for it. So if you want to play board games, and like sometimes if you support a board game on Kickstarter, they'll let you, they'll upload it for you to play on TTS so you can mess around with it until the game comes. So it's a great thing. So yeah,
it's awesome. I remember, I'm trying to remember which game it was, but basically we had a physical game that we enjoyed playing. And then one day we tried to try it out on Tabletop Simulator and we realized every expansion for that game was just free on a Tabletop Simulator. So we're like, oh my God, we get to try all this stuff out before we like actually buy the physical version. I do agree about it. It can be pretty buggy. And I think it is because it's just overloaded with like all that Steam Workshop stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious because is there a way, and maybe you don't know yet, but like, I know you can upload, you know, the different decks and things like that. Is there a way to set like custom mechanics in the game, or is it really just like,
yeah, you can change key binds and stuff like that. You can do almost anything. It looks like, I mean, I'm uploading a card game, they already have all the card game key binds and stuff like that. Like R is shuffle, F is flip over, yada, yada, yada. And like, if the cards go to your hand, your opponent doesn't see them. Only you can see them. So it all works out. But in terms of like a board game, it looks like you can change key binds and also like script some stuff too. And probably there's a lot of that out there. So
yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But that's gonna do it for the show, folks. This is another banger. We're well into the 40s. We're going to be at a year soon, and it's going to be a good time. We'll have a big episode for the year, maybe, or maybe we won't even acknowledge it.
Yeah,
but we probably will. Yeah. you can continue to find me on Twitter at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Just had Mitch Leslie, aka Uber, who does a lot of esports announcing, on the show last week. It was a really great conversation. So if you're interested in any of that, we don't just talk about the card games. We talk a lot about his journey in play-by-play commentary, which he's won a game of the year, or not game of the year, a esports award for play-by-play commentary. It was very cool to pick his brain about all that. So if you're interested in that, go check that out. You can continue to find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. And share with your friends, like, comment, subscribe. All that really helps. Matthew, where can people find you?
Yeah, find me at Matty Gorm on all the socials. Like I said, doing a lot of Once Human stuff. So I'll be playing a lot of that as well as the podcast game. So check me out. Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, all that good stuff. At Matty Gorm, Gorm.
That's going to do it, folks. Please stay fresh and stay juicy.
Yeah.